Good morning, everybody. I'm not real sure if I'm live or not. It sounds like it is, or it looks like it is. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars. Happy Monday to everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend, and we have a lot to talk about today. As we're taking a look ahead at the week, we're taking a look at some of the movements that the planets have made over the last couple of days. And we also have today's Mercury conjunct the Sun, which is, by all accounts, typically a pretty energetic kind of day. And then we also have new messages coming in and new ideas, new revelations, new things that we need to be aware of so that we can take those new messages and begin to apply them out in the world. In astrology, Mercury conjunct the Sun at this phase, while Mercury is in forward motion, is called a superior conjunction. That just means the conjunction is happening with Mercury in front of the Sun. And when it is an inferior conjunction, it is happening behind the Sun. And it's more hidden, right? And that's happening during a retrograde. So I need to go over to YouTube really quickly and see if I can figure out where in the you know what I am. And nope, I don't want to do that. Oh my. Okay, so here we are. Here I am. Yay. Good morning, J-Lo. Good morning, Allison and Laura Wolfberg. Good to see you. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. I hope your little Rita is doing better. And Phantom Chroma, good morning. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. It's good to see everybody out there this morning. And again, I hope everybody had a great weekend. It just seemed to go by really fast. How interesting is it that the weekends can go by so fast when in reality, nobody's really working? Well, I mean, some people are definitely working. The essential people are working. In our state, anyway, we're still in the stay home order until the end of May. And that means that we're really not open up yet. Retail stores aren't open, grocery stores are, Costco's, things like that. But you know, like I was thinking the other day, it would be really nice to go to Kohl's or Ross and take a look around at what the fashion is for the summer. Well, we'll have to wait a little bit longer for that. Okay, so today's main conversation then centers around that Mercury conjunct the Sun in Taurus. And we always say, you know, such and such conjunct such and such. But it's important that we understand how it is that we're putting that together, because the faster planet is usually the one that we say is conjunct the slower planet. In this case, the sun isn't even a planet, it's a star, but it is the slower moving of the two. So we say Mercury comes into the conjunction with the sun, although I've seen it said the sun conjunct Mercury. In this case, it is Mercury moving into the sun. So we say Mercury conjunct the Sun, and they are both in the sign of Taurus, a sign that rules our finances, our relationships to our resources, our self-worth, and the way that we entertain our values, the way that we live according to our values, or not in some cases. So when Mercury comes into the conjunction with the Sun, what we usually get is a clear view of our goals, of our financial picture, of what it is that, where it is we might be out of alignment with living from those goals or from our sense of values. And in this case, we get to be restored to clear thinking, to maybe even clear communicating. I can feel in my own mind a sort of slowing down, which allows me the space to be able to think about what it is I want to say before I just blurt it out. And that's given the fact that the Sun and Mercury are conjunct in Taurus, which is much more a sign that is, remember, step by step or plodding, PLODDING, moving one step in front of the other. So our speech and our thinking has that sort of feel to it right now as well. The being able to sort of slow things down and take one step and put it in front of the other, or one foot and put it in front of the other, taking a stepwise progression. And that gives us clearer access to our goals, being able to even, entertain the idea of where are we in the grand scheme and what do we need to do to create a course correction if necessary. And also then to be able to speak to that, write to that, or in other ways, be able to move through that energy of clear thinking. This might also be a time where new ideas emerge as if by magic, right? As if they're just there and you've never heard it before, seen it before, and suddenly there it is, ahas, right? Oh, those ahas. Then with Mercury being the faster moving planet here, it's the light of the sun, the communication of Mercury coming together, and it always reminds me of the messenger who comes to get the message and then takes that message and takes it out to the other planets, in this case Mercury taking it out onto the bigger field of planets. And for the next 2 weeks, all of this week and next week, Mercury is doing a bang up job visiting Neptune and Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Pluto and Saturn. And so we have this, series of messages that Mercury is delivering to all of the planets as we move on into the next 2 weeks. So we have movement that can happen as above, so below, right? So movement happening where our ideas can become manifest, or where we can see that what steps we need to take in order to get to where we want to go. And that can translate into busyness, especially as we begin to move into the third week of May, where the sun moves over into the sign of Gemini, and we end up hitting some of the human design gates that are about enthusiasm and about action, busy, busy, busy sort of things. So a lot happening right now in your mind and in your movement, or the ability you have to put out something, a product, or to get something done to entertain the movement toward an opportunity, and then be able to maybe make some success out of places where things have been sort of stagnant or not moving at all. So it's a really good thing. It can be high energy. And wow, look at all the comments since I checked in here. Augustina, good morning. Love from Uruguay. Well, we welcome you, Augustina. It is great to have your energy with ours, and happy, happy to have you with us. And I'm sure everybody will wish you that as well. And Mimi, good morning to you. Everybody's saying hi to Augustina. I love that. Asa, good morning. Alisa, good morning. Debbie Hedden, good morning. Terry, good morning. Linda, hi, everybody. Been missing with everyone lately. Good to be back. We're really happy to see you, Linda. I was just thinking about you yesterday. I came across a message in Messenger, and it was dated like a month ago. So it had been a while since I'd seen you or talked to you. So great to see you. I hope everything is getting back to normal in your life. And Augustina is loving the love being poured out to her. I love that too. Okay, so let us go on to what the moon is up to today. So our moon has moved in early, early morning this morning. So 3 o'clock for those of you on the East Coast. For us on the West Coast, just a little after midnight, the moon moved out of the sign. Excuse me, choking. Out of the sign of Virgo and into the sign of Libra, the sign of relationships. Yes. So in Libra today, we have a trine from the moon to Saturn. So remember, Libra is one of our cardinal signs. And anytime the moon is moving through what? Aries, Libra, Capricorn, or Cancer right now, we have a sort of frisson of energy that goes through the whole deconstruction, reconstruction that's going on in our world. And Libra is the sign of the moon where we try to smooth things over, where we try to build a new relationship with whatever it is that's going on around us, with whoever it is that's entered into our lifetime, in our relationships and in our partnerships, because Libra actually rules those close relationships. So marriage or a spouse or a committed partnership, even our business partnerships come under the rulership of Libra, because there's this sort of sharing of resources that go back and forth in those kinds of relationships. As well, Libra rules everything to do with tact and diplomacy, teamwork, harmony, equilibrium, I always call it the three C's: collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. And if we look deeper at each of those levels, we'll see that in marriage, as it rules marriage, we also have partnerships and the agreement, the agreements in our partnerships or in marriage. Ultimately, in human design, marriage is from the channel 4037, which is a channel of the bargain or agreements that we make. And initially, marriage in our more ancient roots was an agreement between tribes or families or communities that would sort of cement a bond. So marriage became a bonding agreement. And in Libra, that's what we have, these bonding agreements. And the agreement extends to two people, presumably with their own independent way of being and their own independent natures, coming together in a much more interdependent relationship. So we see that interdependence is also a part of the experience of the moon in Libra, where we're sharing our resources, we're sharing our love, we're sharing our time, we're sharing our space, and blending the me into we, right? In your astrology chart, the Aries and Libra polarity is ruling the first and the seventh house, with Aries ruling the first house of I or me, and Libra ruling the seventh house, where it is we, where we come together. And so that's where we see this idea of coming together. And in that idea, then, if we take that concept to the outer world, what we see is teamwork, right? The giving and receiving energy, the giving and receiving of support, and having mutually supportive relationships, not one way where I'm doing all the giving and or I'm getting all the receiving. It has to be a two-way support relationship where giving and receiving is in equal measure. And as well with teamwork or in working in a relationship, we see how important it is to have negotiating skills like tact and diplomacy, where we can communicate with one another on a level that's fair and equal, or at least peaceful, right? Loving energy. As far as Libra is concerned, it is also a sign that rules justice and fairness. When you think about the scales of justice, right? And Lady Justice, who's blindfolded because she's seeing without her eyes to look at what the differences are between peoples or between the situation, she's coming down on the side of fairness, balance, and equality, and with an appreciation of differences. So in Libra, we really see that the possibility and the probability that we can balance the different sides. We can at least come to the middle, where both sides are allowed to exist without that need for us to classify as one better than the other. So Libra energy with the moon, maybe balanced emotions, balanced feelings, or balanced relationships, balancing, bringing things into that balance or that equality. In balance and equality, then we also have an access to harmony and peace, which are also a part of the Libra moon experience. And included in that idea of harmony is the flow of energy. So I often think of Libra energy as a feng shui, right? The feng shui in our relationships, the feng shui in our house, where we beautify, we use art or decor as a way to express beauty and harmony. And there's a real interesting connection, a coherence today between the systems. As we look at the moon in Libra, we also have in our human design and in our gene keys, the sun moving in and earth moving into the gates that are very creative and expressive and beautifying. And even our Pleiadian earth energy today has a sort of balance and harmony feel to it. We'll get more into that here in just a few minutes. So really, when we're beautifying and rolling with the energy, moving with the energy in a room, or through the way that we're creating art or beauty, what we're taking it to is a level of refinement that only Libra can really appreciate, secondary to Taurus, who can also appreciate that love, that beauty, that harmony that comes when the aesthetic is there. And good taste and elegance and luxury, all a part of this Venus ruled sign. Libra is ruled by Venus, as well as Taurus being ruled by Libra or being ruled by Venus. So we have a lot of Venus energy apparent right here with the Sun and Mercury's conjunction in Venus, or I mean, Venus ruled Taurus, and then the Moon moving through Libra today. So we're bringing, tying some ends together where we can sort of create that pathway forward harmoniously or peacefully or in a more beautiful way. I noticed yesterday we had a bit of rain for the last week. It was off and on, off and on. I couldn't even get my patio set back up because it was, you know, as soon as I put it up, then it would start to rain kind of thing. So I noticed yesterday at the end of the day, it was so beautiful. Like the rain had finally cleared. You got this feeling that, you know, maybe something was shifting and that there was a real crispness of beautifying energy that was becoming available. And that's what we have here today. And for the next couple of days, this beautifying energy, you can beautify your environment, your inner self, your relationships. So the focus becomes harmony and beauty, teamwork, and giving and receiving. Now, of course, any sign has its negative energies as well. And Libra is no exception. Here in Libra, a lot of the negative energies have to do with loss of identity, giving away too much of yourself. And that can show up as codependency. And we see that frequently in Libra out of balance, codependent relationships. We also know that Libras are often people pleasers. And they're appeasing people. They do or say things to make peace as opposed to what really is meaningful for them. So they're often giving too much of themselves away. And in doing that, then they end up burning themselves out or feeling not valued or heard or recognized, not feeling good about themselves, feeling a low self-esteem or low self-worth. So we have to be careful on the negative energies in Libra. It's great to give, but giving is only a part of that, right? You also have to be open to receiving, and you have to be very aware of when you're saying or doing things just to make other people happy and not doing what's right or what's, you know, good for you, right? We often want to give too much away. Libra is also known as a sign of indecision. The air signs are kind of like that, Gemini also, and Aquarius also, because air has so much possibility, so many different facets, so many different sides to see, that it could be very difficult to come down and make one decision. So we may feel a little indecisive. And if that's the case, then you're going to have to go to your human design and know how it is that you're designed to make decisions so that you make the best decision for yourself. And Libra also can sometimes get into aimless debate, right? Debating a point just to have the words. I don't even know what that's about necessarily. My husband and I this morning started getting into this aimless debate about whether there was frost out there or whether it was dew on the grass. And he was just certain it was frost. And I'm like, it's 41 outside. It's not frost. And but back and forth, he took me on this, you know, bouncing ball of a aimless debate about whether that was dew or frost on the grass. Funny, yes, and it was sort of amusing, but you can take that and make that a bigger aimless debate that happens in the political arena, perhaps, or in your communities, or even in your families, or in your one-on-one relationships that can really undermine the health of that relationship. So we want to be careful with that today as well. Now, in the body, we also notice when the moon changes signs. We notice when other planets change signs as well, that our bodies sort of reacted a little bit differently. If you're body aware, then you know that your adrenal glands are a part of the Libra experience. And those adrenals sit on top of the kidneys, which are also a part of the Libra experience. So this is a great time to remember to drink a lot of water. Got my big jug here, which I need to drink lots of. And Your adrenals would mean that you might feel a little nervousness or anxiety or feeling tired or lethargic or burned out because maybe you're trying to do too much or you're taking it all on and not allowing other people to help you. And also things like diabetes come up through this, which I find fascinating. I need to look more into medical astrology to see why that's connected there. I'm not sure where that comes from. The pancreas, maybe it being a part of, I don't know, but that's a research project for another day. Okay, I'm gonna head over to YouTube, see what people are saying and questions. Elisa says, I'm feeling that energy, a little bit of overwhelm, indeed. And Terry, yes, there's that energy, crazy day today. I can say this only because I know my granddaughter, who's turning 17 today, my oldest granddaughter. My very first grandchild turned 17 today. It's unbelievable. And of course, this is happening under a stay-home order. So her mother and father have planned a parade, if you will, of cars to go by the house to, show signs and so forth. My husband picked up that project and made it his own, as only a Libra can do. And he is going crazy with all the plans of getting that out there and getting that done. So that'll be kind of fun for her. At least we can make her feel special, even if we can't all get together and, eat together or have a party for her. We'll have to do that later in the month. So there is a little bit of craziness in the air, a little bit of over the top, right? So Libras, you guys are the ones that tend to go a little bit over the top, that you need to come back into that balance and keep those scales sort of like, this and not like this, keeping it cool, keeping it in the medium. J Lo says, I'm pretty lucky. I'm a Taurus, a Libra, and my Venus is in Gemini. And I'll tell you guys something here in a minute. J Lo also says, ooh, I'm looking at the calendar, and I have Mars trine my ascendant. High energy day for you. Phantom Chrome, a sorry person who needs me to make a decision. I'm going to need a full moon cycle for that. Oh, you must be a reflector and own it, right? You need to own that, girl. And J-Lo, the adrenal gland should regulate, maybe. That's where the Libra comes in. If off balance, it's a sign, maybe just an assumption. No, I think there's something to be said about that, J-Lo. The adrenal glands do regulate our hormones, cortisol, and other stress hormones. And so when those are out of balance, then you have the injection of a lot of those stress hormones into the body, and a whole cascade of events occurs in the body biologically that can set you off balance, right? Take your metabolism and dump it, and create burnout or anxiety, things like that. So I get the adrenal part. It's the diabetes part that I don't get, but I'll figure that out, no doubt. So I wanted to tell you guys something. One of our listeners, I don't know if she listens in the background or if she hears the podcast, but her name is Ursula. And she is a fairly new person in my experience here. And she sent me a link one day to a book, and it was called Shamanic Astrology. And I had come across this years ago. Years way back in the very beginning, I used to watch or listen to this lady named Carolyn, whose name has since changed. And she would have all kinds of really interesting things to say about shamanic astrology. Well, I downloaded the book that Ursula recommended, and I started reading it, and something clicked within me. And which often happens, right? I'm a Gemini. I love these new ideas. I love, looking at new things. But something clicked in me about reading of a chart, reading of our astrology. So I pulled up my own chart to start looking because, for example, the moon in shamanic astrology, wherever it's placed in your chart, represents the school of magic or the mystic school that you've already accomplished in your different lifetimes. So mine is in Virgo. So there's the Virgo school, mystery school that I've already accomplished in this lifetime. And your rising sign then shows you what it is that you're here to, what mystery school you're working on in this lifetime. So I have a Cancer rising, so I'm working on the family traditions, foundation, stability, security kind of mystery school. And I've only just scratched the surface of this, but something about the wording of it, the feeling I get when I'm thinking about that, just makes me feel like there's some kind of truth here that I want to keep pursuing, right? That I want to look further into. And of course, as I learn more, I share more with you all. And then in that particular system, the North Node and the South Node, which we've been sort of focused on because tomorrow is their first full day of being in the new sign for the next 18 months of Gemini, North Node, and Sagittarius, South Node, where our collective lessons, destinies, and so forth are going to be changed somewhat. And I think that the North Node is sort of in your personal chart, then, is sort of showing you the direction you need to go in order to accomplish the learning you intended with the mystery school shown through your ascendant. And I know these are different verbiages, and I'm not quite comfortable with exactly how to use them yet, but know that we're going to be talking more and more about this. In this particular astrology system, then the house of the planet's placement is far more important than the sign it's in some cases, even, not even looking at the sign that something's in, more appropriately, the house it's in, because it shows the area of your life in which this will take place. And in that system, then they use the whole sign system of house placement. So whatever your ascendant is, mine's 26 degrees of Cancer. So my first house begins then at 0 degrees Cancer. And where Cancer ends, all the planets that would be from 29 and through zero are placed there. And then the second house then in my case is all through Leo, from 0 to 30 or 29 Leo, and on through there. So the houses aren't necessarily cutting with planets in, partly in one house and partly in the other. So it's an interesting way to look at it. And again, I haven't quite completed this whole thing. Chiron takes on spectacular meaning in this particular system. Jupiter and Saturn, Jupiter more than Saturn, actually, showing you the things that you can achieve, right? If you're on task in your mystery school, sort of the counselor, the wise counselor there, showing you what direction to go. So as I learn more, I will teach you all more or discuss this more and take a look at people's charts because I just found it to be so fascinating. Marissa, good morning. And anyway, so now let's take a look at what else is going on today. Let's move over to human design. I did save the human design chart for us to take a look at this morning. So let me open that really quickly before I share my screen with you. And did I put it in downloads? Yes, I did. There it is. And let me share the screen. And you'll see we have a completely open human design chart for the week, or at least for today. And yet the sun and the earth have changed signs or changed gates, and they are now at the gate two and the gate one. So that is an interesting combination because to me, when I look at this week, then it's all about that Libra energy of balance and harmony. But what are we balancing and harmonizing here? We are bringing into harmony the great energies of the masculine and the feminine. And the gate two, where the sun is, it's the very masculine sun sitting at the most yin or most feminine gate in your human design. And then we have the feminine earth right here sitting at the most masculine sign, the most yang energy. So if you stepped back and you looked in on that, what you would really see is the giant yin yang, right? Where there's this harmony and balance when all the energies are aligned the way they're meant to be aligned. When the feminine is expressing the feminine, when the masculine is expressing the masculine, neither one taking away from the other, but blending them into this beautiful harmonizing symphony, if you will. And so that's what's happening also for then this human design week within us, is we're harmonizing the great yang energies of the masculine with the great yin energy, the feminine. And I'll show you where those two gates are. They both happen to sit on the diamond, which is the identity center. Hopefully, you can see my little pink cursor here, circling that center. And that particular center is the seat of the soul. And it is an energy. It is all about love, right? This is the love energy. And it isn't like I love you, you love me. It just that it's the bigger organizing principle of the universe, which is really the energy of love. And all of these gates then on the center in some way, shape, or form resonate to the energies that we would think of as love. For example, forgiveness. For example, self-expression, a love of the expression of one's own self in the world, the love of leading and being that role model, the love of self, the love or self-love, a love of humanity, the love of being in receiving, right? Receiving love. And then 46, the love of the body or being in the physical, the love of spirit. So all of the energies on this center represent love energies. And now we are looking at the energy connecting us to the great masculine and the great feminine. And in your own personal charts, whether like you may not have those gates defined, and so they're defined this week for you, and you may find in your own life that your purpose sort of for the week may be about finding balance and harmony and that very Libra energy of creating relationship. And a relationship that's based on equality, right? That equal energy, the equal expression of that energy. The moon is sitting at the gate 18. She is likely moving through some of these fear gates for the next few days, kind of helping us to finish up the lessons. Let's see, today's the fourth. Yeah, she's moving through. So remember, for the last 6 weeks, we had the Earth moving through all of the gates of the spleen. So we spent an extended period of time dealing with fear and its effect on our lives. And in the spleen, we have this energy of time, and time here is in the now. And all we needed to do was to look that fear in the face, sort of, and push through it, and it would dissipate. Well, now the moon is cleaning up, right? She's now moving through all of the gates of fear. She does it quicker, right? So maybe there's we'll have an experience this week of being able to push through things in a very quick manner in terms of what we are afraid to do. So here is a gate of constructive criticism, and we call it the gate of judgment or the gate of constructive criticism or criticism and judgment. But this is a gate where we're trying to perfect something. And what we can find here is that it's always perfect in the moment. So the moon begins to move through these gates at a fast clip over the next couple of days and sort of closing out the lessons of fear that we were learning over the previous 6 weeks. We still have our nodes sitting at the gates of love, right? The north node at the gate 15, which is the love of humanity. And the south node taking in that energy of self-love. And so, if we have healthy self-love, then we're able to apply that to the love of humanity. And if we have a love of humanity, then we can also take that in and apply it to ourselves as a part of humanity. We also have Mercury conjunct the sun today, and we see that in human design with Mercury also at the gate two. Now, the gate two is a gate of receiving. Right, it is a receiving gate. It is the receiving of unity energy. It is reorienting your life around your values and what you want to create for yourself. It is very much about just holding yourself open to receive, right? Whatever that is, it might be insight, maybe it's something more physical like money or support in some way. Maybe it's advice. It could be a number of things, but receiving is the energy at the gate two. Now, the gate one, so notice that the gate two, by the way, it pushes downward toward the sacral. So receiving is more passive. It's not part of the sacral, right? But it's in our receiving that we see we're giving. And it is when we're giving that we see that it connects back up to the two at receiving. So giving and receiving, that sort of idea of that's all part of love energy, giving love and receiving love. It's just really kind of eloquent there. The gate one up here is about creativity and self-expression. And it is beauty in its highest form. It is freshness in its gift and entropy in the lowest. So here is an energy where we might see that alternating current between joy and expression and melancholy or depression. This people who have this gate one defined are often the ones that will tell you they're feeling depressed or that they are depressed because they misread the energy of that cocooning of that gate one. Because it's, remember, the emotional center is very much like this energy where we go into the womb or we go into that melancholic state for purposes of creation, right? Creation. And then, the next moment, that creation is born or birthed, and we see the expression of it in the outer world. So, some people may interpret that as the high, and then the other part, the low. But in reality, it's all part of the same cycle. And in the gate one, we see that the cycle of creativity is partly expressed in the outer, and also a part of it is expressed in the inner. So some of that energy is in withdrawal and in sanctuary or in being quiet. And the other part of it is the more expressive part when we are working on the project or we're sharing our work or we're expressing ourselves out in the world, expressing love outward into the physical, but also a part of that is in the building process or the integration process, which is done on the inner planes. So it's really not about depression and melancholy versus joy and expression or joy and happiness because they're all part of the same continuum, right? So the creative process has both. And if we didn't have that, then we wouldn't actually have anything worth creating out there, right? It would just be all out there. So interesting energies for the week, I think, in our human design. And ultimately, I want to take a look at this gate 45 as well, because the gate 45 has Venus sitting there for the long term. Remember, right now, she's in the shadow of her retrograde station, which will happen on May 13th, which is next Wednesday. And when she goes into retrograde, then she slows way down. She, from our appearance or from what it looks like to us here on the planet Earth, she appears to be moving backwards. In reality, what's happening is we're more in the integrative space and we're preparing for the next outward expression of those Venus energies. And at the gate 45, which is a throat energy, it is about prosperity. The gate 45 is a, this is called the money line often in human design, the gate 21 to the gate 45. That channel creates prosperity. And one end of it is the spender and the magnanimous giver. And the other end is the bookkeeper who says you can't just give away your millions without, you know, getting millions in, right? Money in, money out. There's a flow established here. So we have Venus now sitting at the gate 45. And that takes us into where are we creating synergy, a synergy between what comes in and what goes out. The low expression here in this gate is dominance, and the highest expression is communion when we're co together, right? Co together, communing, or together creating prosperity, or together creating a project or something like that. So I thought today what we would do is instead of reading the sun or the earth in our rosy book, we would read the gate 45 and see what the lessons are there. So let me stop sharing this for a moment and go back to YouTube, see if there are questions. Me, it says it does sound fascinating. Yes, indeed. Amy, the two completes. The hanging gate 14 for me. Wow. So the whole channel. Now, this, the channel 14 too, for those of you who have that channel now complete, is about working for money. And literally, if we worked for shells, if we worked for invisible money, it would be the same thing, right? It is a channel that appreciates remuneration for the work it does. And so if that's why I say it, even if we were, trading wampum or something like that, it would still be okay for the person with the 14-2, because what they like or they feel is the appreciation in the gift received and in the that gift received for what they've given. So that particular channel really gets into the giving and the receiving energy. So that I hope that helps you, Amy. Laura, my moon is in Libra in my fifth house, and I'm feeling overwhelmed today. So I think what you could focus on then today, Laura, instead of the overwhelm, is what is it that you would love to do that brings you joy? Because that's what the fifth house is all about, is joy, creativity, love, romance, your children, relating to the world from the childlike enthusiasm, trying not to get into the serious stuff today. By the way, I meant to mention that early today we have Moon in a trine to Saturn. And Laura, that may be sort of what you're feeling right now, is there's this more serious energy that's there. The Moon trine Saturn is often about where we need to find resilience, where we have to be patient, waiting for that energy to shift, where we need to come into the common sense rather than the crazy. Where we might feel a little more conservative, a little bit more like we're holding back somewhat. And it is not so much emotionally depressive as it is we're just being more reserved. We're kind of reserving our strength in order to endure something through a time period, through a project, or through something that we need to take care of. So we have a lot of endurance ability, but Saturn sometimes can make things feel a little more serious. But the moon is what's in a trine to Saturn, and the moon moves quickly. So every couple of hours, the moon is moving. It will soon move away from that trine in Saturn. And what you can do now instead, Laura, is to find ways to make yourself feel good. What's creative in your life? What do you want to create? And you can always get out your color books and your crayons and just start coloring a beautiful picture or drawing something. Laura, Janet, we have similar natal charts. Yes, I do. I see that all the time. And I like that, right? It helps because it means that we're drawn together for a reason, for a purpose. It's our energies that brought us together. I see that a lot. Asa, good morning. She says, I have that one gate defined, and hearing this helps a lot. Thanking you. You are so welcome. Marissa, hanging 15. So now the 15-5 is complete for me. Is we yeah. What's at five? What's it? We didn't talk about five, but maybe you saw something in the chart. I hadn't looked at five to see. No, it couldn't be. It couldn't be in the just now chart. Otherwise, it would complete the channel with 15, and we'd have some color centers there. So maybe in your own chart, you have a hanging five, and now hanging 15 comes together and completes that channel for you. Amy, wow, and I pulled a self-employment Oracle card this morning. Cool. J-Lo, first and second gate age clear, but both centers are defined for me. Any advice for this manifesting generator? Okay, J-Lo, I'm missing something. You say first and second gate, I bet you meant are clear. Okay, but both centers are defined for me now. Is that right? Are they defined for you now because of the transit, or are they already defined for you? If they're already defined for you, then this isn't necessarily new energy for you. This isn't a new experience. But if you do not normally have gate one and gate two defined in any way or hanging in any way, then today may be a day where you attract people to you with the opposite ends of those gates that might help you find the path for your expression of your creativity, or to help to gift you with something that really brings that receiving energy into clear for you. And Marissa says, yes, completes the channel, right? So that particular channel, Marissa, the 15-5 is about timing and how timing is never in our hands, right? It's the right timing. And when we are patient and we allow the universe to unfold for us, then we find that we're in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right project that feels good, and it completes us in a way where we feel good about what it is that we're expressing. So it's about right timing, divine right timing, how we are really not in the seat where we can control the timing. That's divine. That's God's space or source's space. So all we do is sit and wait for that right timing to appear, and that right opportunity and those right relationships, etc. I hope that helps. Okay, so let's look at our card for synergy. I need to get out of YouTube because it's lagging behind. There we go. So here's our card. Look at this lovely, lovely face. And Synergy, Gate 45. Synergy is the gift. And what do we see on her forehead? It looks like a stork or a crane or a heron, perhaps, with the crescent moon. Love it. What completes the crescent moon there? Oh, I think it's open. So it is the crescent moon. Lovely. Okay, so let's read this one. So remember, the gift here is synergy. The shadow is dominance, and the highest expression, the Siddhi, is communion. And it says, ultimately, any system that has been built on a foundation of fear will, by its very nature, crumble. Do you kind of think that's what's happening now in our world? I think it might be. So here's the wisdom story. I was born in a land where daughters didn't take over their father's empire. As a young girl, I was timid, but also caring and observant. I spent hours watching my father build the family business from scratch, working day and night, climbing up ladders and pleasing demanding investors. Once he achieved the power and authority he desired, he was determined not to lose it. He kept a tight rein on his employees, money, position, and legacy. He never mixed business with friendship. Not even my mother knew the company secrets. As he aged, he grew increasingly paranoid, pompous, and dominant. His temper was hot. You can imagine the shock everyone felt when he left me in charge of the business after he died. My whole body quaked the day I was given the keys to the company safe. Most people expected me to fail, myself included. But my best friends believed in me and promised their unconditional support. The gratitude I felt gave me the courage to break the first rule of the family business. I invited my friends in. Instead of seeing them as threats, competitors, or needy parasites. Well, I almost choked on that one. I saw them as invaluable and trustworthy resources. I shared all that I knew, all that I needed, and then gave them the freedom to do what they were best at without any interference. At first, profits went down, and I worried that we'd go under, but the atmosphere of the company had changed. Goodwill, collaboration, and creativity abounded. Soon, our level of efficiency increased and profits rose. I invested most of our earnings into educating and training old and new employees in the fields of their heart's desire. Soon, people stood in line just for the opportunity to work for and with us. Over the years, our products and services became increasingly healthy for our customers and the environment. The life-work balance of our employees improved, their families flourished, and even participated in the fun. We became recognized and used as a model all over the world for our humanitarian efforts, capacity to share as opposed to trade, resources, and our willingness to cross-pollinate with cutting-edge businesses, nonprofits, artists, and activists. Not bad for a timid girl like me. My gift to you. I'm here to encourage you to take a leap and let go of your fears. Whether you are a member of a family or a leader in a business, look for the ways that fear still rules your life. Where are you territorial? Where are you holding on to power that would be better shared? The time has come on our planet to begin organizing ourselves differently than we've done before. Competition is on its way out. Synergistic collaboration is on its way in. Competition, oh, I already read that part. Though you may look at the world and understandably think that profitability is prevailing over goodwill, I come to reassure you that it isn't. Goodwill always wins in the end. Questions for contemplation. Where are you too timid and afraid to rock the boat? Is it time to challenge an outer authority in your life? Where have you given into unhealthy competitive impulses? Where might you still be obsessed with climbing up a ladder? Think of a time when goodwill and collaboration paid off. And imagine participating in an exciting synergistic collaboration. What kind of project would excite you most? Which of your gifts would you want to bring to the table? Who would you want to co-create with? If you don't know anyone specific, make people up. Journal the qualities you'd want your collaborators to have. Imagine your ideal creative communion, right? Love it, right? If you can't see somebody specific, make them up. Make them up. But note the emphasis for Venus long term at this gate on collaboration, co-creation, and cooperation. And we might as well add another co-word, communion, right? Communion and working together with synergy. So that is our Venus, which is in effect throughout the month of May. In fact, it doesn't shift until way at the end of the month, May 29th. So we have a lot of lessons we can learn about goodwill and synergy. And I think, all things being equal, it seems like the coronavirus has been the great equalizer here in breaking down the old and preparing us for the new, whatever that might be, and however that looks. So that is sort of our the high side of all of these things that have been going on in the world. Okay, questions or comments on that? Nope. I don't see any yet. Good. All right, let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Holy cow, it's almost been an hour. And then I want to draw an animal card, a spirit animal that is going to be our guide for the week. So today, when we look at our Pleiadian Earth energy, remember the day of the week and the day of the universal day energy are matching for the first 13 days of the month. So if today's May 4th, then we are at the energy of four, which is a foundational energy. So the universal energy, for those of you who are new and have not heard of the Pleiadian Earth energy, it's based on a calendar called the Pleiadian Earth calendar, Earth energy calendar, and also astrology. It's your guide to conscious evolution and spiritual advancement using the spiraling energy patterns of the universe. This calendar is put out by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith as they are channeling the energy of Pleiadians through a group called LARCMA. LARCMA. And they bring us this wisdom that reminds me of the Mayan calendar. So I often equate these things, these days, with the Mayan calendar as well. And it shows us how we are spiraling in our conscious evolution and it not being a linear process or just a circle. Right, this is a spiral where we are constantly moving upward through the 13-day weeks, right? The number 13 being sacred here as a tool for ascension and moving upward into the next cycle. So last week, May 1st, Friday, we began the new week and it was at one loving energy. So everything is about loving energy, just not just love, like I want to hug and kiss you kind of love, or the love between people, but the bigger organizing principle of the universe, which is love and loving energy. So that becomes our umbrella for the full 13 days, while each day has a separate energy that is adding to that energy of loving. So today's energy is for illuminating. The four being the energy of foundation. It is that first pause that we come to where we get to check our roots. We get to check our foundation. We get to look for the cracks, that things that we, that are breaking apart that maybe we need to look at and work with or let go of. This is where we come to a stability, but not rigidness, right? So we might have to check ourselves. Have we become too rigid? And we're not willing to morph through these changes that are going on. But stability is okay, rigidness not, right? We're looking for that foundation to be sustainable and to be solid and to stand the test of time. The energy of illuminating in the Mayan calendar was Xuan, which was the monkey. So there's a bit of humor here and a bit of the trickster energy in the day today, shining a light outwardly in curiosity and creativity. And also, very Libran is that this is an energy that heals imbalances, laughing at ourselves if we find ourselves being too serious, right? And then, if we're being too lighthearted, then maybe we have to, bring in a little bit more serious energy. So we're working to heal what is out of balance for ourselves to restore laughter and joy, right? To restore that laughter and joy. There is possible political and personal drama during a day like this, especially if we are very caught up in the illusion, the collective illusion that we have created, where everything is serious and these big dramas play out on the stage. So today is an opportunity then for us to let go of that illusion, to see that we've created this as a collective through our thoughts and our beliefs. Even the words that we use to describe what's going on become a force of creative energy. And are we adding to the issues on the planet, or are we allowing a new creative energy to come in, right? We're awakening then on a day like today to what is really true. And that is that we are the co-creators on this planet, that we are playing out these roles that we've been sort of unconscious to. But the moment we become conscious, we can let go of the madness of our unconsciousness and start really awakening to the truth of who we are. So this day sees us maybe stabilizing this idea of being a co-creator. And that we're not the victims of what's going on out in the world, as we've participated in the collective creation of that. And to what end, right? To what end? What is that drama or that trauma teaching us, right? What is it showing us? That's what grain of what's going on in your life is the truth, right? That you're meant to connect to. So that is our Pleiadian day. And I'm always amazed at how it sort of gels with the other energies, coherence, right? I love that coherence between the moon and Libra and our human design that shows our necessary, our need to really balance the great masculine and the great feminine within ourselves. And then Mercury conjunct the sun, bringing us the possibility of these new messages, these ahas. These new ideas and energies that emerge. So it all kind of dovetails quite nicely today. And our animal to help us on our way is chameleon spirit, kind of perfect. And look what it says underneath, act as if, right? Pretend, act as if. It is card number 14, which is a five. The five energy always tells us that we can be the agents of constructive freedom, of creative change, that we're never stuck. And by the way, this was upside down, so it's in protection mode. But look how beautiful this card is. I don't think we've drawn this ever for us as a collective. Let's see what it says, how it supports us through this week. So act as if, 14 in protection. Is that the right card? Okay. Being sensitive and having empathy for others can become a heavy burden if you don't practice self-care. Could it be you're feeling stressed because you've tuned in to challenging emotions that aren't even yours? Chameleon spirit does not want you to adapt to these conditions by withdrawing or distracting yourself, hoping the feelings will just go away, or attempting to rescue another who may be having a pity party. You could be swallowed up trying to manage it all. It is time to figure out where you end and the rest of the world begins. Not all conditions are yours to match. You need to distinguish your own color from the rest of the world right now and take time to soothe your sensitive soul. Choose some activities that will restore your sense of being grounded and avoid people who revel in drama. Take a break from social media too. Self-care, except for my show, self-care and a timeout is the answer to this temporary dilemma. So that's our guide this week, right? Chameleon spirit. Act as if. Love it. Love all of that. Okay. One last look over here at YouTube to see if there are questions. None. I love it. I love smiles. I see hearts. And of course, If you have questions, you guys know how to get a hold of me. So that is it for me today. I hope you all have a wonderful day, being the creators, the co-creators, the collaborators, and the being in communion with one another, or at least being cooperative with the process of creating what's new and what's possible. All right, much love to all of you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.